Today's program is brought to you by Neil's Yard Dairy, selecting, maturing, and selling farmhouse cheese from the UK and Ireland. For more information, visit neilsyarddairy.uk.co.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello and welcome to Cutting the Curd, broadcasting live from the Heritage Radio Network. This is Greg Blaze. On today's episode, we're talking to Thalassa and Stephanie Skinner, sisters and co-founders of Culture Magazine. Thanks so much for coming on, ladies.
It is a pleasure to be here, Greg.
For those of you who haven't heard of Culture Magazine, it's an amazing print and online publication featuring stories all about the world of cheese. I was fortunate enough to do some food styling for them last year. Let me tell you, even if you're just looking for some cheese porn photos, this magazine is a lot of sexy cheese pictures.
Enough of that, right? Thank you.
But it's also about a lot more than that. Your content is like so comprehensive.
Yeah.
Culture Magazine features cheeses from around the world and around the country. They're pairing tips and notes on cheese politics, history, and cheese recipes. So my first question to you both, and you can fight over who wants to answer this first one, is how you were inspired to start the magazine, and how did you make that vision a reality? Anybody?
Take it away, Stephanie.
Good. There's no fighting on this one. Actually, the start of every company is has lots of myths around it, but it is true that in 2006, 2007, I was working out on the West Coast, or going back and forth, and from the East Coast where I lived. And during that time, I would stay with Thalassa, who was at that time setting up a cheese shop with her friend Kate Arding. And they were going through the process of discussing what cheeses should be in the shop, et cetera. And one evening after I came back from work, I found them there well into their probably second bottle of wine. And they were talking about getting ideas on what to do. And I said, well, why don't you guys, of course, read the magazine? Because I'm a magazine person. That's what I do. Why don't you subscribe to the magazine and see what other people say about this kind of thing? And they said, there is no magazine about cheese. So I said, of course, fortified by the wine myself at this point, I said, well, I'll go, and when I come back in a couple of weeks, I'll have a business plan and we'll launch a magazine. And we did. And so it took shape really through the experiences that Thalassa particularly brought to the table, which is as a cheesemonger. And that is what informs us, because the mongers, of course, are the people that are between the maker and the consumer. So we are a consumer magazine, so we're geared to the consumer, but we are informed by the mindset of mongers.
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, was your initial audience, or the idea of your initial audience, cheesemongers? Or, but that's where you... That's where you're going to draw your experience from.
That's a good question. This is Thalassa now.
Hi, Thalassa.
So, hi, Greg. So good to talk to you. It was really the whole idea was to educate people about cheese so that life would be easier for mongers. So it was always supposed to be an educational, a fun educational outreach to general consumer so that more people would learn about cheese and buy cheese and eat cheese and love cheese. And that really has always been our goal. And we've obviously gone through, we're 8 years old now, and we're amazed that it's there, and we've gone through our ups and downs with that, but pretty much ups all the way. But it is weird. It's strange to be someone who's used to being behind the counter who actually owns a magazine. I got to say, it's not at all intuitive. And let's just say I'm happier behind a counter than I am knowing the publishing world. So that's where my sister comes in.
All her fault. How did you convince people to carry it in the beginning? Like, what was your plan there? You were just like, we're just going to go around to people we know, and we're going to tell cheese shops to put this out?
It's good to own a gun.
Nice.
Because holding people at gunpoint, they do it.
Yeah.
But, no, actually, to be honest, people were – it took a while for people to understand that it wasn't actually a trade magazine, but there was no pushback at all about having something that was all about cheese on the counter.
Who was your first customer?
I don't think that was a problem in any stretch.
Like, who took your magazine?
Who took your magazine first?
What? Yeah, who was your first customer?
The thing that happened early on. First off, it was. I'd like to say it was just great wisdom on our part, but it was really serendipity that we launched the magazine at the moment that the world in general, and particularly America, was waking up to the variety and the wonderful options of artisan cheese and coincidentally, it was also the time when niche magazines were becoming and you can see them all over the place now, but niche magazines were really starting to bloom. And so we were lucky to pick up really the premier newsstand distributor at the time. Newsstand, of course, has gone through pain and misery that transcends everything that we all have gone through. But in the intervening 8 years, they've dropped about 50% of their total business as an industry. But we were lucky to pick up a distribution house called Comag, which is really the distributor of Conde Nast and Hearst and those kinds
of
publications. And they saw us as a high value niche magazine, and so we got shelf space very quickly at places like Barnes & Noble, who knew that there were still bookstores out there. But in fact, that is still the largest seller besides Walmart, tragically, of magazines. So we got really prime shelf space coming out of the gate at bookstores, as well as on the newsstand lines at grocery stores. So that's really the first. That was, and we got very large numbers for a launched a niche magazine being launched by two twits like the Skinner girls. So
come on,
we were that's really what did it for us on the big number side. But Lasses made, and at the time also Kate was very instrumental in shopping the magazine around to the people that we refer to as the sort of thought leaders in the industry to get buy-in, both for distribution at specialty stores and for advertising, which is, of course, a very large part of the revenue that makes this wonderful world of publishing go round. So
yeah, I was really, going to ask
again,
you about
when
that.
When I say that it's informed by the mindset of the cheesemonger, it's also because we're embedded in the industry that we've been so lucky as to have the success that we've had.
Certainly. I mean, print. I mean, I went to school for print journalism way back in the 90s, and like I was so sure that I was going to get a job that I became a cheesemonger. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, print, newspaper publication, like circulation was going down, and it's tough. Print's a tough, a real tough medium. And as you know, it runs on ads. And that's where you make your money. That's where you make your money to support it. So when I read your magazine, the ads you use seem to be primarily from cheese producers. Like, how did you go about selecting advertising for your magazine? And does it coincide with where it's sold and that sort of thing? Do you look for ads that
to a large degree? I mean, this is the battle that I am engaged in on a regular basis. So advertising leads the way in terms of dollars, but the way that magazines work is that there's sort of this triangle. The advertisers go where the readers are, and the readers go where the edit is. So we started with what we thought was the most important piece to get right in the beginning, and that was the editorial product. Because once the editorial product really hummed, then the readers would get excited about it, and then because of that, the advertisers would then show up. I mean, not just show up; you have to call them. As it turns out, sadly, you still have to call them. But that's really the process that we go through regularly and reevaluate our editorial to make sure.
And to that end, to Steph's credit, in a big way, there was nothing else for these people to really. There was a few things, but not that many places for people to advertise that really hit their market. And,
right.
So mm-hmm. we were not just it, but we listened to them, and we kind of did a back and forth, and we continue to be that. We don't really try to tell people it has to be this. We say, tell us what you are. What you are, and we try to kind of straddle those two things. And it's because of the fact that we're not really, we're not mission-based, although we are, some of us, but we're also, non-denominational. We can kind of work with everybody. And it's been, every day is literally like a whole new day of peeling off another layer and going, holy crap. Look at what's out there, and you never really know what's going to be next. And it hasn't, it's obviously hard, very hard sometimes, but it doesn't really have huge downsides to it, which is nice. We can kind of enable things more than we can kind of, disable. So it's really a good place to be.
And if I could just also add a little bit to that, is that now, as Lasse said, we're 8 years into this. And the value of a publishing empire, as we like to call it these days,
empire
of what
Good
we
Lord.
Do,
I like that.
Is any empire such as ours is that once you've built these two constituent groups, which is the readers and the advertisers, all brought together by the editorial product, which is your content, you have the opportunity to develop additional products to basically keep adding to your, to what you're doing. So we fairly quickly we got onto social media and realized that was a way to beat the drum about, exploring cheese to a very wide population. I mean, we're now over 100,000 fans on Facebook.
Yeah, I want to get into
obviously
that with
our
you.
Website being key. We have lots more work to do on that because that is a never ending feeding of the beast. But
and ever changing.
We've launched events too, and this all comes from our bringing this all together. And so, back in the day when you went to journalism school, you were probably learning about how to write, which everybody thinks is basically what all magazines are all about, is writing.
Well, initially I did, but I had to learn, I had to learn everything that you went through, which is probably why I quit,
you were a wise man, Greg.
Well, I mean, just wise. Everything. That's why
I love it, so.
I loved it, too. Yeah. But
it's a wonderful thing, and I feel like this last year has been really eye-opening for me because I've published many other magazines, and they've been, for groups of people who I did not love terribly, and now I can say this is one of the most congenial, wonderful industries I've ever had the pleasure to work in.
Oh, yeah.
Cheese
people, we are wonderful.
Everybody up and down
wonderful
the chain.
Individuals.
It's so cool.
Wait a minute. I have one thing to say about that. Who do you have to thank for that? Thank you.
Oh, yes, Stephanie. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Greg, I have Greg to thank.
Thanks. That's what I'm talking about. Right
oh,
there.
Probably Emily as well.
Emily. You have Emily to thank for that. Beautiful. I want to get into, we're going to take a short break, but afterwards I want to get into how your magazine has evolved, and I want to touch on social media and your online content and just how you've grown. So come, just hang on. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
program is brought to you by Neil's Yard Dairy. Neil's Yard Dairy selects, matures, and sells farmhouse cheese from the UK and Ireland. They work with about 40 cheesemakers. They visit them regularly to taste their cheese and select the batches they want to mature and sell. Amongst the cheeses they select, there's a great deal of variability. Cheese can change hugely depending on how it's treated. They have a range of temperature and humidity-controlled maturation facilities at their warehouse in London, run by a team who are dedicated to ensuring they sell their cheese at its best. As the cheese is maturing, they continue to taste through the stock to ensure they're aware of how it is developing over time. When the cheese is ready, their attention turns to directing the right cheese into the hands of the right customer. They have 3 cheese shops in London, an online shop, and they're a regular sight at markets around the country and have a UK and international wholesale trade. For more information, visit neilsyarddairy.uk.co.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd. We're here with Stephanie and Lasse Skinner, co-founders of Culture Magazine. They're on the line, presumably from Massachusetts. Best state in the union. Best state in the union right there.
That's great.
I love it.
Bias.
We were talking initially about how they co-founded the magazine. You had one cheesemonger, one magazine person. Their sisters had a great idea. Cheese was blowing up. They made a magazine from scratch, which is super hard to do, and found all the advertising and put it together, you know, and now we're here. In 2016, craziness, absolute craziness, you know, and people, you know, you touched on something that, like I said, when I was in school, I was faced with the reality of, you know, that like news, and I wanted to be a newspaper man a little bit. I wanted to write sports, but I also, I did learn how to write their feature articles was what I really, really got into, you know, as a journalism student, but there just was not a lot of market for print media. So I think it's awesome that you guys have made this great thing that's like persevered and blossomed, you know. So I just wanted to get, just in case there's anybody out there underneath a rock or manhole cover that doesn't know what Culture Magazine is or where to get it, because my audience, well, it's mostly cheesemongers, you know. There's other people like my mom who listen to this podcast who might want to go and buy the magazine. So how often does it come out? When you started, you were quarterly, right? And now you're bi-monthly. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, we're now 6 times a year.
Four mm-hmm. Seasonal magazines. Sorry, we're on talking on top of each other.
That's
four
all right.
Seasonal magazines. That said, they're kind of, I mean, if you have a magazine and it has an autumn cover, it actually is for a year round. So we say it is that, but it comes out every 3 months. But then we've added 2 extra magazines.
Bonus editions.
Which are the best of, and the which is the best of the year, which we look at award winners from 7 different competitions around the globe, and we choose within that, and then we make it consumer friendly, so it makes sense.
I did some food styling for that one.
Also, do a pairings issue.
Yeah, those are fun. I think I did some food styling for you on one of those where, like, massive amounts of cheese
got sent
to this lucky photographer's studio in Brooklyn. And, like, I had, like, a spoon of Harbison that, like, had to be, like, you know, very sexual and, you know, in the way that it dripped down, you know what I mean? But, you know, I had to make sure my fingernails were trimmed because my hand was in that shot. And that's the thing about those print magazines, you know what I mean? You get to cost a lot of money to take all those photos. That's probably, you know, and I'm just speculating here, but I'm sure, you know, you were like, how are we going to blow this thing up even more? And now you're talking to me briefly before the break about events that you guys want to do. You guys are going to – and I know you guys always throw a great party at the ACS, mm-hmm. which I've been to, you know, in my wilder days. You know, I used to attend, first to come, last to leave. But so is that the kind of thing that you're going to be getting into in the future, like a lot of gatherings?
Well, I think mm-hmm. one of the things – well, speaking personally, again, this is the cheese person side, and for me – the joy is to make, number one, make people happy, but number two, make people happy with cheese. And so how do we get the cheese into people's mouths, and how do we, I mean, it is an incredible, cheese is an incredible thing, so we really want to take it into, you know, in its raw form, out into the world and present it to people. So it's great, and it, I mean, honestly, the magazine is just unbelievable to sit and read and learn, and to use that as a tool for education. So if somebody asks more questions and they really want to learn, this is an easy way to do it. But there's nothing better than actually having an active tasting event where you are with people, and they, and I think our greatest joy with these events, which are around, now we're launching around the country, is to infuse that incredible enthusiasm of just the taste, and then what, why is this milk turned into this? How does that happen to people?
And, yeah, people
and
love to
absolutely
eat cheese, man.
Nothing but sheer pleasure that we try to bring.
That's
each of these events.
I want to speak to something you just said, you know, and as an aside, but it's so super important. I mean, your magazine is very educational. How do you go about developing content? Like, what's your editorial process to determine what goes in the magazine itself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a good question because a lot of people think we're the editors, and boy, we are so far from being the editor of any in any stretch. There's, as you know, Greg, there is a very, it's an important role to be editor or editor-in-chief of a magazine, and that you have to know how to put it together and move from there. What our role is, for Steph and I, are is ideas and also kind of, because we're right out there in the industry, Steph in her way now in an incredible way, but, and, you know, me kind of, with all the people that work in the industry, we feed the editorial, but the editorial staff actually goes to shows and we travel and we want people to send in things, talk to us. The social media is huge. All of those things, it's literally just that huge pipeline of the portals, you know, kind of being the sieve and the conduit for people to send things.
We get a ton of pitches too from lots of really good writers from around the globe.
Yeah, how do you select your writers? How do you select your staff? Do you go about taking them? Are they cheesemongers mostly, or people with that experience?
No.
Or are they writers first?
No, writers first.
In the beginning, we literally launched the magazine with I was the only person who'd actually ever launched a magazine before. And then we had some, we were very rich in cheese knowledge, but we were not rich in publishing knowledge. So,
which does not make for great writing, you know? So it's a very different skill too.
Why is that?
So
cheesemongers just drone
around.
On?
We have, we obviously still have lots of cheese knowledge in house, but, we've added some terrific, and seasoned, publishing professionals. We have an editor-in-chief, Courtney Hollins, who came from Boston Magazine. We have a food editor, Lee Belanger, who's been involved in the food writing world for quite some time, as well as executing food events, and got a couple of books to her credit as well, and really terrific food sensibilities. And we are one of our former interns, Becca Haley Park, has grown into an extraordinary associate editor too. So it's really been an evolution to have our staff be, particularly on the editorial side, our staff be very seasoned and qualified as editors.
Yeah, I think
writers.
We started virtually. We were all virtual. Mm-hmm. Now there's actually a home base. There's a head office, and it's based in the south end of
chairs,
Boston,
tables, computers, probably, things like that.
Yeah.
Doors and addresses on that office. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to answer one of your, sort of briefly, also one of your questions about how do we come up with ideas, we actually have, you know, in the vast world of cheese and in publishing in general, you do actually have to create sort of buckets of knowledge that you want to try to
build.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so we have these, and people outside of the industry probably don't see these distinctions as clearly as we do, but we have features that we fill every issue. So we have a cheesemaker in every issue, and that's a profile of the person themselves and their cheese making and what they've done, how they've come to do what they do, et cetera. We have a style feature, which is always a challenge, but it's
like
particularly important.
Cloth-bound cheddars of the UK, that kind of thing. first.
Yeah. So we'll, and then we have a chef.
How did you come up with those?
So a chef talking like, about, you know, using cheese, et cetera. So those are our, those are the big features. And then we have lots of, then we have the, you know, shorter departments is how we refer to them, that are, that can be a little bit more flexible and mobile on, but they're also designed to be buckets that, that are filled, like knowledge-oriented buckets or entertainment or people in the industry.
Is there another food magazine that you sort of styled yourself after? You know, because I look, I read your magazine often. I like it. I can sell it at my store when I get it.
What do you mean often? All the time.
Every day.
All the time.
For the love of God. yes. But there's so I always look at your magazine. There's another cheese magazine out there. It's called The Cheese Connoisseur. Like, do you are those, is that your competition? Because I feel like that's a very different style. I feel like that's a lot of like features or a lot more features, and you guys have a lot more practical knowledge. There's a lot more recipes, or maybe in yours, or maybe I'm I'm wrong. But do you look at them as your competition, or is they, or you dovetail in together?
I mean, of course, we're probably competitive for advertising. I feel like I don't necessarily think we're that competitive for you know, on the reader side. I think you're right. I think there's some differences. I personally respect Cheese Connoisseur and the changes, the evolution that they've come through over the last 8 years. They launched essentially at the same time as us.
And I didn't know that.
I think they've come a long way. In their first issues, they were very. I feel like they were more trade oriented because of where they come from. They come from a trade publishing house.
Right.
I think they've come just a really long way in terms of getting more more consumer friendly. We feel that we've also done the same thing. We've come a long way in terms of being less arcane and are now, I feel, really squarely focused on expanding our consumer focus.
Food writing, I think, is super – I mean, I think it's very difficult, you know, because you have to have this to be a good food writer. First of all, I think, you know, everybody has food blogs. There's so many food blogs, you know. There's cheese blogs, and those are great. But that's a different way to write, you know. You can – you know, your stuff, you got to have someone who's familiar, maybe or maybe not. I mean, I have to be familiar with the AP style book. You know, there's a way to write – these sort of things, and I wonder. Yeah. I feel like it's hard to find food writing. You know, I mean, like you said at the beginning, you had different people, but maybe you had less writers. You had less food professionals. You were just getting started. You know, and it probably helps you out. What's that?
I don't know, Greg. I think if you're a good writer, you can learn. But I do think that. One of the things we get asked all the time, how in God's name can you have a magazine all about cheese?
And what do you say?
I just look at them with my jaw.
I mean, I get asked that all the time. People are like,
"How can you possibly ask that question?" There is so much to write about, and so you know, as we can write about anything that goes along with the world of cheese, which opens the floodgates, you know, to recipes and agriculture and meals and chefs and seasonality and wine and beer and like the whole thing is our oyster.
Yeah, totally.
And I think if you're a good writer, this is kind of your, you know, this is the joy, is that this is like, wow, how do I incorporate, you know, all this excitement into my piece and not go over by 4,000 words.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm talking about right there. Like, so you have like food writing features. I just find them difficult. It's hard. Sometimes they're hard. They're hard to read, you know, because like you say, in the end, I kind of want to eat it. You know what I mean? I just want to.
Well, that's why the events are there. But but you know, it's you, Greg. So we'll work with you on how you write your feature next time.
Really?
I mean, it's fine.
People are always. I think it's sort of emblematic of the hiding your. I don't even know what the expression is, but sort of hiding your light under a bushel basket of this industry, that people are shocked that there should be a cheese magazine when there are how many wine magazines, and there are, for God's sakes, and there are beer magazines, and there's you know, a
food magazines.
Yeah.
And,
there is a cigar.
And, or, I mean, kind of recreating.
I would say that there are, you cannot swing a cat in Boston without hitting a food writer.
Let's Did you say you cannot
there.
Swing a
so there
cat
are that
without
many
hitting a
everywhere.
Food writer?
They wow. really are. It doesn't mean they're good. There
yeah,
are many.
That's true.
There are many people who want to do it, but don't really. As Lassa says, you know, if you're a great writer, you can, you're going to write. Period.
Sure.
But for us, the challenge, and for every publisher, the challenge is to find somebody who knows how to write a story. Because we are competing. I mean, as a consumer magazine, we're competing with, you know, 1,000 different things. We're competing with, you know, this. You got to take your kids to soccer.
Food magazine.
You can watch
that's our main
Modern
that's really
Family.
Our main
you know,
thing,
you
yeah.
can do a million yep. different things. We have to entertain. So we have to find people who actually know how to tell a tale and tell you why it's interesting. Say, you know, tell it with some you know, turns of phrases and things that become memorable. And then we also have to match that up with extraordinary photography, like our centerfold. Every issue we have to have, and you're thinking the ultimate porn thing,
oh,
we have to have a centerfold in
sure.
every issue.
Sure. No, and trust me, I'm the same way. I mean, I have a podcast here about cheese. You know what I mean? Like, I have to be engaging. You know, thank God there's no photography in here. I'm mostly pantsless while I do this podcast. You know what I mean? But
thank you for that visual.
Nobody needs to see that. Nobody needs to see that.
So lastly,
you have what's in the very near future for Culture Magazine? Give me a little tidbit as to what's new, what's on the horizon.
Well, one of the things I think is really important
event.
To understand, Stephanie. One of the things that's important.
One at a time, please.
To be very in every magazine, we're global, so we look at geographics, we look at kind of what we're covering throughout the next 2 to 5 years. We've got kind of ideas, editorial calendar. In the upcoming one, we've got things like cloth-bound cheddars, and we've got a piece on Grand Dorsch, who makes all the wonderful camembert and Livaro and things like that. We Steph, what else do you think is like really tantalizing to be able to?
Well, this, every issue, by the time the issue comes out, we are already thinking about 3 issues ahead, so I can barely remember what's in the spring issue that we're putting to bed right now, except for Grand Dorsch. I know that one for sure.
Awesome.
But in terms of what's coming up for us, I would actually say, coming back to sort of our things on the horizon that's very big, are events. We did a big event in Boston, and we are doing it again.
Excellent.
And
we're eyeing one in New York.
Great.
Greg.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Alert.
Yep. And you're working it.
Nice.
I don't know if you know that. Yeah, but you're going to be working on it.
Learn a lot on this podcast. I do every time I do it. And so people should just check on your website, right? And if they want to, just stay tuned. Check out the Culture website and people should go into Barnes and Noble, that old bookstore, and check for Culture Magazine. And barring that,
you can buy a subscription at culturecheesemag.com. Please come on down. There is another Culture Magazine. I want to warn you, there's another Culture Magazine, and it's about marijuana. So that's not
buy
us.
Them both. Buy them
sure.
both. Buy that's one, figure it out, buy the Cheese Magazine when you're ready to eat afterwards. Super. Well, I want to say thanks to both of you gals for giving me a little bit of your time. I really love to talk to you all the time. I can't wait to see you in New York. And thanks to everybody for tuning in. Be sure to tune in again next week when we'll be talking all about state cheese guilds. Stay classy out there.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.